Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
We honor God when we honor His Word. And let's look at this Psalm 130. The key verse of that Psalm is found in verse 1, where it says, "Out of the depths I cried unto Thee, O Lord." And I thought about the depths. What does that mean? And we have examples in the Bible of those who were in the depths that were crying out unto the Lord. And you could probably think of several. I thought of three. I thought about Joseph. We were studying him not long ago in our Sunday morning class. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 23, his brothers threw him into a pit. Now you might think, well, that's bad and that's the depth, but it gets worse than that. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 28, he was sold as a slave and carried into a foreign land. In Genesis chapter 26 and verse 20, he was put into a prison for being faithful to his master. And then in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 23, he was forgotten. Now you talk about being in the depths. Joseph was in the depths. You read that story of Joseph, and even though he was in the depths, he did not forget God. And even though he was forgotten of men, he was not forgotten by God. There's another story about a man in the depths, and I don't know if you know this story. There's an unsung hero in the Bible, Ebed-Melech. This story has to do with Jeremiah. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 38. God gave Jeremiah a message to preach in Jerusalem, and Jeremiah didn't want to preach it. But he did. He preached it just as the Lord said, and he warned Jerusalem. He said, "Nebuchadnezzar is coming, and the thing for us to do is to go with the Chaldeans. We can't defeat this because this is of the Lord. So thus saith the Lord," he says in Jeremiah chapter 38. He says, "Go with the Chaldeans and live. Because if you remain in Jerusalem, you will die by the sword and by famine and by pestilence." Now, Jeremiah didn't want to preach it. And there were those in Jerusalem that didn't want him to preach it and didn't want to hear it. So they went to the king and said, "Let's throw him in the dungeon." And so they took him to the prison. And in the prison they went to the dungeon. And in the dungeon, at the bottom of that dungeon, they threw him in a pit. And in that pit was the mire. Now you just imagine this old filthy prison and all the dirt and all the grime and all the refuse of that prison would settle down to the bottom of that dungeon and into the pit where that mire was. That was their septic tank. And they threw Jeremiah in the mire. And Jeremiah sunk in the mire, it says. And then they walked off and left him to die. You talk about being in a pit. You talk about crying out to the Lord from the depths. That's where this hero comes in that you may not know. Ebed-Melech, he was an Ethiopian that was in Jerusalem. Ebed-Melech, he went before the king and said, "King, we can't do this. We need to rescue him." And the king let Ebed-Melech do that. They took old, clouted cloths and old, rotten rags and made a way they could lower this down into that pit and told Jeremiah, "Put that under his arms," and they drew him up out of that miry pit. Talk about a man being in the depths. Let me tell you about Jonah. You know the story of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, the Lord told Jonah, "You go preach to the Ninevites." Jonah didn't want to go. In fact, what Jonah did, he got on a ship and went the opposite direction, headed toward Tarsus. While he was out there on that ship, trying to flee from the Lord, a storm came up and it was very tempestuous and the wind was blowing. And the sailors feared for their lives, and Jonah knew what the problem was. He told them, "If you want to be saved, you're going to have to throw me off this ship." They said, oh, we can't do that. And they tried to struggle, but they could not struggle against the storm. And finally they consented. And they threw Jonah into that raging sea. And the Lord had prepared a great fish and came and swallowed Jonah. And Jonah found himself in the belly of that great fish. Now Jonah has a prayer. In Jonah chapter 2, it says in verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows, thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look up again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was closing upon me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thy holy temple. There was Jonah in the depths. Have you ever been in the depths? Maybe not literally like Joseph, Jeremiah, and Jonah. But any of you that have lived very long, you know what the depths are like. And if you don't know, you will know if you keep living, because life has its highs, but life has its lows, and sometimes those lows can go low, 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 low. And what do you do when you're in the depths of life? Jonah says, I was hid from thee. But Jonah was wrong. Look at Psalm 139. And verse 7. Many lessons here. But in particularly in thinking of this, it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Even the darkness hideth not from thee, but the light shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. The message is, you do not go so far down into the depths that God doesn't know it. That God will not go with you. That God will not be there and be aware, and His will be done, and He is aware of you. Look at Psalm 130 and verse 2. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of thy supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? I was reminded of some passages in 1 Chronicles 6 and verse 36. There's no man that sinneth not. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. There is none righteous. No, not one. Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One of those things that will come to our minds where we're in our depths is our own sins. I know it wasn't for Joseph's sins or Jeremiah's sins that he was in the depths, but Jonah was trying to flee from God and disobey God when he went into the depths. Many times we bring those depths upon ourselves because of our sin, And we think about that in those low points in our life. But we've all sinned. Everyone has sinned. And if the Lord should mark iniquities, I don't think the Lord doesn't notice your sin. He does. That's why the Lord came to the cross, because He notices your sins. He marks them. He knows them. But it's not marked with that indelible ink. What is it, that magic marker, that unerasable marker? It's not that kind of mark. He's got a way to remove those marks on our sins. So, Lord, if You had marked my sins with that mark that cannot be removed, as the would be bringing the rest of the Bible teaching in there, then, Lord, who shall stand? And we would realize that the depths, well, we've all sinned. Why shouldn't we be in the depths? It's because of the love of God that we don't want to be in those depths. For the love of God, God doesn't want us there either. And so the next verse tells us, there is forgiveness with thee. What a marvelous thought that those marks of sin that the Lord makes against us, that those marks, that slate can be wiped clean. And then He says this, which calls me to stop and think when He said, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And I've often thought that there is fear in the wrath of God, and there is. But here we're talking about God's mercy. And how is there fear as a result of the mercy of God? Came to my mind in our Sunday school class when we were looking at the 1 Kings chapter 8. Beginning in verse 37, it says, if there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting mildew, locusts, if there be caterpillar, if the enemy besiege the land of their cities, whatever plague, whatever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people of Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spreadeth forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give mercy to man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for even thou knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land wherein thou givest unto our fathers. Go to God and ask forgiveness, and God forgive them that they may fear thee. Why would the mercy of God strike a fear in us? And I thought of a couple of things. And one is that God tells us He bestows His mercy on those that fear Him. And so by the fear of God, we can appeal to God's mercy, but I think there's something else there as well. Oh yeah, we fear the wrath of God. But there's also a merciful, loving kindness and forgiveness with God. Having been a recipient of that forgiveness, does that not itself instill in your heart a great admiration and respect and awe of this God who can forgive you? And in that way, wouldn't His very mercy shown upon you make you want to fall down and honor Him and worship Him and respect God for who He is? Those who love most are those who've been forgiven most, the Bible says. And those who really fear God, I think by experience what I've seen, are those who have experienced His mercy. Now, verses 5 and 6 tell us what to do when we're in the depths. Await to the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in His Word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they which watch for mourning. I say more than they which watch for mourning. One of the things that tells us is to have patience, to wait, to endure. God knows where you are. God knows what you are suffering. Now you just wait. wait for His will to be done. Verse tells us to hope. In the depths we can hope, and it tells us what to hope in. It says to hope in His Word. It is just so important for us to know what God's Word says. If we know what God's Word says, then we're in the depths. We won't be without hope because we'll know what it says. Those precious promises and passages of God will come to the mind, and they'll be more precious than they've ever been in all your life when you're in the depths. And you'll know what it says. And if you don't remember exactly, you'll know the stories, you'll know the passages, you'll know where to turn, and you can read them again and hope in God's Word. That's why we need to be students of God's Word, not just listeners to the preacher. But you have a Bible and wear that Bible out until it's just falling apart and you hate to depart from it because you get another one and you're going to have to start over and making your notes and study and underline and maybe copy a lot into it until that one's worn out. And leave your family with a stack of worn out Bibles. When you're in your depths, if you know God's Word, then you'll know where to go for hope. You'll have the strength to have that patience. And that's a very urgent patience in this passage too, isn't it? Oh, wait for the morning. I'll wait for the morning more than they which watch in the night. I'll wait for the morning. You think of the fearfulness of the watchman who's to guard the city out in the darkness and the frightening darkness around and the watchman watching, waiting. Boy, I wish it was day when I could see. I thought about the story of Paul going to Rome and in Acts chapter 27 and verse 29 when in the darkness they were sounding and they knew they were coming near a shore and they didn't see the shore and they knew the ship could break apart when it reached the shore, as indeed it did, but they didn't want that to happen in the darkness. And so they cast forth their anchors and wished for the day. Oh, we wait. We wait with urgency. But hope is the anchor that keeps our soul steadfast in the midst of the depths. And so we can hope in His Word. And the lesson here is for God's people. Verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with the Lord is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So here's what to do when you're in the depths. Remember, cry out unto the Lord. You've got a God you can turn to. From the bottom of the sea and the fish's belly, the Lord heard out of His temple, cry out unto the Lord. Hope in His Word. Wait for the morning. And remember that our God is a God of forgiveness and mercy and plenteous redemption. So there's a way out of the depths. A lot of time the depths are the physical condition we have ourselves in, the human condition, the worldly condition we're in now. There are the depths there, but there's a greater depth. And that's the depths of sin. And there's a way out of the depths. You believe the Lord Jesus Christ and you turn from your sin. And you confess His name before men and you're baptized into Christ where you're brought forth a new creature. All those iniquities are wiped clean. And you live a life in keeping with His will, and should you stumble and fall, as a child of God, you go to God in prayer to receive the forgiveness of those sins.